Blog Talk Radio.
From the Onion, these guys were really nice. Let me use their music for my various productions. The OK Spook Show, and here, Eerie House Radio. Welcome one, welcome all. This is my 19th show with Eerie House Radio, and it's Halloween weekend. There is so much stuff to cover. What a week it's been. First of all, my apologies to Gar the Ghoul. Are you here, Gar?
I are here.
All right. Gar the Ghoul, last Sunday we did a show, and I got so caught up in programming the television station, I forgot to fire up the radio station. Fortunately, albeit 5 minutes late, we did do a nice little piece, a nice show there. And, gosh, just so much has happened. We had The Walking Dead right after my show. And we, you know, without any spoilers, a couple main characters were lost.
Yeah.
And it was kind of gruesome. So if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to play spoiler yet. We won't talk details. But
no, I don't even have, like, I'm so rickety here in the crypt. I don't have a television, so we're using the intertubes to watch stuff. And so I saw it late, so people were spoiling all over, and I was avoiding it like landmines. And then I saw it, and I was like, ooh, but I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. And then sadly, early yesterday morning or late Friday night, we lost John Zagerle.
Yes.
The Cool Ghoul himself has passed on, and it's a sad time, but he did live to the ripe old age of 98. His contributions to our genre, gosh, what do you think, Gar?
Well, the amazing thing about the man, and you have to look at it in many multifaceted ways, is not only amazing horror host, ushered in the era of the shock packages, the creature features, what have you, but also made the transcendation from horror movie host to TV and music with the American Bandstand with Dick Clark, and then into music itself. He pressed a few records for novelty horror stuff, and even books. There were books that he did. So you're talking about mass marketing, a genius play, and great guy.
Yeah, and you know, it's obviously been felt through the horror host community as well as the horror genre in general, but fans of horror hosts are somewhat taken aback and sad that we lost another one of the greats. I mean, we lost Vampiro, pretty close to 10 years ago now.
It's been a while. I do recall when that happened as well. And that was, I think different people, different generations have different opinions, different, you know, folks and stuff. But Zacherly, what he did to transcend just I'm on TV and I'm doing the thing, he would actually interject himself into the films in weird ways, which was amazing.
Yeah, Ghoulari, you did that here in Cleveland as well. Zacherly had staying power. I mean, he was written up in, you know, Famous Monsters of Filmland. He made it into Life magazine, I believe. You know, he was a pioneer. He and Vampira really made this all happen for a subculture, really, of folks that like the original horror host. And it's often very regional. I mean, we in Cleveland, we had Ghoulari, we had the Ghoul, we had Big Chuck, we had Superhost, we had a plethora, which is more than two.
Yes.
a plethora.
More than two, less than seven.
Yeah. And not to keep bragging on Cleveland, but we do have a deep history.
Right.
Yeah, and it we're so sorry to see him go, but are grateful for paving the way for people like us to do our thing.
And he did indeed. One thing, and it wasn't that he left early, 98. Hello, you know. Knocking on the 100-year-old door there.
Want to take a second to thank the chatters. Alpha Trope, Evil Annie Repert, and Space Pirate, and even Guest 398.
Unfortunately, I'm not near a computer, so I can't see the chatters, but hello, chatters. Bleh, bleh to you from Gar the Ghoul. Bleh, bleh.
There you go. You've got bleh.
There you go.
I'm
actually in a makeup chair as we speak.
Getting all ready for tonight's show on iVlog?
I'm getting ready. I've got an 8 o'clock deadline, and I'm powdering to push as much as I can. Ba-doing. Okay, anyway. If you know what I'm saying there.
Yes, I do. It's a lot of work to do a live show. That's pretty incredible.
4 hours live show. Got to be crazy, or a horror host, or both.
Yeah, there's a difference.
I guess. Well, they can go hand in hand. You know, it's just most of the time you're walking with yourself, holding hands with yourself. You know,
and
in some areas that's okay. I guess.
Nobody does.
Zachary, one thing that will stand out with Zachary for me was there's this one scene. It's a horror movie. I can't remember the name of it. And a lady's trussed up, and they're going to cut her, and she's going to fall into a pit, ravine, something. And in the movie, they cut her, and the body falls. And before they play the next segment to where it ends up, Zachary is in his studio. He's got someone outside of off camera up in the rafters, so to speak. And they have a dummy, and he's got a box. And when they cut it and they bring it in, and Zachary's like, "Bring it down." And down falls the body. So it looks like Zachary's part of the movie. It's great.
That's awesome. Goulardi was one of the first to do pop-ups here in Cleveland, where he'd come into the movie and sneak up and tap somebody on the shoulder or something like that.
Yeah. And if I had more crew and more resources, I'd love to do it. It's fun stuff to do.
Yeah.
So fun.
Well, and then earlier today, I got to spend time at Goulardi Fest with the Weirdness Really Bad Movie people. A lot of folks taking an interest in not only horror hosts in general, but the online TV thing. This is part of what Eerie House is about, to bring, you know, help bring this to people who would otherwise not be exposed to different horror hosts from different communities. There's folks coming in now for, sending more and more shows. Thanks, Screaming Horror Theater people. Meat Cleaver Theater.
It's catching on.
Rigor Mortis, Tar and Feather, Lord Bloodraw has been sending some stuff, and Arachna, and we even have a little bit of Ormsby here and there.
There you go. Have you run across Marlena Midnight, or is that outside of your range?
She is great. Right now she's doing stuff on regular TV, so I don't know what she'd have that's available. I mean, she's doing really, really well. It's a well-run operation. The folks who run the show and star in the show, they're doing great. They're doing great.
I got starstruck this week because I actually talked on the phone for less than 3 seconds to a Ms. Monster, a California horror movie host out of California, who does Hell on Ice with Ms. Monster and her Monster Mounds. I talked to her this week, and I was like, "Oh, I actually got to talk to Ms. Monster. Oh, wow." And that was fun.
There you go.
Even horror hosts can be fans, so it goes both ways.
I got exposed to her show from the old Monster Channel, that was a streaming television thing. And, she's got a great show. It's well-written. It's funny. A little
hilarious.
Adult, but not overboard.
Very, but very funny. Cutting edge. How about that? We could say cutting edge, yes.
Absolutely.
And I kind of joined the horror host thing as a fan turned into host situation.
I think we all have all the guys doing it on the internet. Wouldn't you agree that pretty much we all started that way? We fate didn't throw us into that way because we were working at a TV station. We grew up with these guys and said, "Oh, I'd love to do a show. I would love to do a show."
Or that you'd like to meet that individual, whoever your host was.
Well, see, I got, you know, with the local thing, I got to meet, you know, Big Chuck in person and the ghoul. And I just was never starstruck by celebrities.
Right.
And I was very fortunate when I met the ghoul in the early 80s to be on his both his television and radio shows, playing little voice characters and, doing different things on the show.
Right.
It's fun.
I said right.
Yep. And
I have run across a few individuals that are like, oh God, we're talking on the phone or we're talking on Skype or you're messaging me and you know what? And I'm like, well, yes, I am. Because it depends on which side of the fan struck aspect you are as to what it means. Because to me, I'm like, I'm just Gar, so yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, it's you, Gar. And so, okay. Sure.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't turn into Play Misty for me, you're okay, you know?
It's like, well, we've got Stalker number 5 on line 2.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Stalker of the week,
fun,
you
too.
Win! I'm sending you, I don't know, fingertips. I don't know. What do you want? Right? Oh, boy.
So
hey.
you and I talked off the show unrecorded earlier in last week about
yes.
Halloween.
Yes.
And I wanted to get your take on that because there is good and there is bad about Halloween. And I don't know,
yes.
Is that something you wanted to talk about?
Yes, I can. I can pontificate from Gar's little school of knowledge there. Of my experience when I was young, I loved Halloween. It was amazing. It was the other Christmas. Christmas you get presents, everybody from the family joins around, you get food, all that. And for Halloween, you get, maybe you don't get toys, but you get candy, and it's like, oh, yeah, great. So for kids, amazing. And we didn't have the restrictions, we didn't have the fear, we didn't have someone put a needle or a pin or a razor blade in your apple. We didn't have that going on. Of course, I'm talking of times long past. But it was different, but it was fun, and you did dress up, and you did go to parties and all that stuff. I think it's unfortunate that the society that we're in now, the aspect of Halloween is so much different. There is possibly a danger to little kids or you know, whatever.
Absolutely, it's a tough world now.
Right.
They're just, I don't know. It seemed like there were very few incidences of horrific things. But it's become commonplace for, like you said, people to put things in the candy and the apples and the food and, you know, harmful things, you know, needles and razor blades, but drugs too. And God, we just didn't have to worry about that. You went door, you got the biggest damn bag you could find and you ran to other neighborhoods and you filled up on as much candy and as crap as they'd give you.
Exactly. Places you've never been before, and you were like, hi, how are you? Do you have candy?
Yeah. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. I'm cute. I'm dressed up like my mother dressed me like a clown.
Yeah, right.
I want to be a clown.
There's a weird thing that's been going on about clowns showing up scaring people.
Yeah.
There's also probably lots of reports about clowns being beat up. Clowns are out. I don't know what the deal is. Back when I was a kid, this is a sidebar from horror, we had Bozo the Clown. And you know what? I didn't have a fear of clowns until Poltergeist the movie came out. And then I was like, egads, you know.
Yeah. It was Stephen King's It for me.
That one too. Right. Both of those.
I went a little sour on clowns. But, I mean, you're in my generation, grew up with. Do you remember this? This creeped me out as a kid, especially around Halloween time. You know, you'd go over some relative's house, and it seemed like everybody that we visited back then had that damn Emmett Kelly ceramic figurine. The hobo clown. And because he was always kept, like, in a dark room, you know, the coat room where the company always puts their coats or whatever, and you go in there, and it's dark, and there's that tramp clown.
Yeah,
he scared me.
Know why, because I never really was like, oh, yay, and I found out later, but I ended up with a full-sized Howdy Doody, and I'm not that old, howdy doody full-size ventriloquist puppet. That thing was just eerie, which is the same thing as the what you were talking about, the that clown, that hobo clown guy.
It took me years later to find out Emmett Kelly was actually a hero to kids. Didn't he rush a bunch of people out of a burning circus tent or something like that?
That you got me on. I think so.
I don't know if that's urban legend or not, but Emmett Kelly, I believe, rescued a bunch of people, in particular children, during a circus fire or something.
Huh.
Back in the 40s or 50s or something like that. I'll have to look that up. But,
I think it was like 78 people, and they were all in a clown car. No, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. In one clown car, of course.
But I digress. No,
Space Pirate Road,
Halloween has changed. In so many ways. One of the things that's getting me is like this Halloween is on a Monday, yes?
Yes.
And there's a reason for that. All right. So, back up and do a history lesson from Gar here. Way back when in Ireland, they had Samhain, Feast of Fall Harvest. Yay, we're getting food. But also, it was perceived in their minds. They were pagans, had a bunch of guys instead of one. That's okay. For them, it's okay. Whatever. Do your thing. And then the church said, we need to fill pews. How can we do this? How can we convert these people? And so they adopted the Samhain into All Hallows Eve, to be followed by All Saints Day. So then they tossed it onto their calendar. Well, now we're stuck with it. So now it's the 31st. Well, why not make it like Thanksgiving, nationalize it, and make it the last Friday or Saturday night? That way adults, kids, whoever, can go to a party, enjoy themselves, make up, all that. And the next day they don't have to worry about going to work or whatever.
I think some people would have issue because of the religious aspects of it. You can't mix a religion and government, but make it an American holiday.
Yeah, yes, like into Thanksgiving, exactly, yes.
Yeah.
This
is an American tradition and an American holiday.
And you could still, for those that wanted to appreciate All Hallows Eve and All Saints Day, hey, more power to you. But, the kids could at least have their little day where they don't have to wake up or go out and go, you need to be back by 7:30 because you have to go to school or whatever,
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that would be a cool idea. There is something special about it being October 31st, though. It's always the same day, like other holidays. I mean, for those that celebrate it, Christmas is always the same day,
But Thanksgiving is every Thursday, last Thursday, right? December.
Thanksgiving has no religious,
Oh, that's
origins.
Right. Christmas has lost a brain cell there, I'm sure.
It's for greater minds than ours to figure out. But make it a holiday. I agree. It's something that I should make it a two-day holiday so the kids can have their sugar hangover the next day.
Exactly. Yeah, they're coming down off of all kinds of great stuff, sugar babies and all.
but
all
there
those
is
crazy,
goodness. I mean, how do you like to spend Halloween? What is your ideal Halloween for you?
I have a huge audio library of old radio shows from the 1920s and 30s and 40s and maybe into the 50s. And so
wonderful.
I'll turn those on. And I turn off all the lights, and I turn on a few candles, and I just kick back and listen to old – it sounds really antique, but just listening to those old radio shows, whether it's The Shadow or the Creaking Door or, The Whistler or whatever it is.
The Whistler, those were fun. Those were fun.
Yeah, they are, and they're creepy, and there's Inner Sanctum and all the whole bunch. Suspense.
Yeah.
And all those. It's kind of like winding back the clock.
We are hoping to bring that to Erie House Radio. There are a lot of those shows that are in public domain, and I want to get all the horror-related films and give other hosts, such as yourself, if interested, the opportunity to host those shows.
That would be curious. I don't know what comments I could make on... I'd have to pre-listen to it.
Yeah.
And then go, hey, here we go, and Well, as you said before, we were talking off air earlier in the week, and there were certain things that are important about the horror movie hosting aspect, and it's that horror movie hosts make it okay to watch a scary movie, because we break in and we go, oh boy, that was scary, wasn't it? You know, you calm down, eases the sting, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the fun too.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is a thrill, and that's why we do it, and why we enjoyed it as children.
Yeah. And teens too, I think. Some of the hosts we had out here were very sarcastic with their humor. I don't know, Cleveland seemed to embrace that type. There's a Cleveland way, I suppose, of being a horror host. And there's no right single way to do it. I mean, look at how different Vampiro was from Zacherly. Look at how different all the horror
Zacherly
hosts are from
was,
one another.
Was dark humor filled. And I believe Vampiro was more, I'm going to scare your toes crooked. You know, it's like, So.
Yeah, and everybody has their own way of introducing stuff and hosting it and their commentary on the film, whether positive or negative comments. You know, some of them are extremely low budget and they're fun to fool with. Look what Mystery Science Theater did in a loving mockery, I hope, of the films that we enjoy.
Many times people have said, what are you doing? They show up into what I'm doing, and they go, what are you doing? And they go, oh, it's kind of like Mystery Science Theater. And it's like, well, yes and no, but okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you to get the picture, sure, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, we get lumped into a ball with others, and in a way that's flattering to be considered similar to something that good. Mystery Science Theater obviously was a successful franchise. They're still sought after today. You know, they're coming back on, I believe, Netflix.
I heard that. I also understood there was a movie, but I'm not sure if that ever came to fruition.
I don't know. My son invested some money in the project when they were in
the Kickstarter?
The crowdfunding thing they did.
Right. Okay.
And he got some really cool premiums from them. So, you know, hey. Plus, he's a huge fan. He can't wait for him to come on Netflix. We're all going to watch him here.
Yeah, in my past Halloween ways of keeping busy, it was so much fun because as cable became more mainstream, cable television, you had some really good programmers sitting here going, you know what? For Halloween night, nothing but the old classics or whatever they could dig up or get
mm-hmm.
their hands on. And that was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Just sitting there, bowl of popcorn. Wow, here they are. Because if you didn't have the VHS, this was pre-DVD time, I think. Yeah, pre-DVD. Back in, the 90s. Bowl of popcorn and... The cable networks, so much fun. But we've changed so much. Now you can get Netflix, you can get it streaming right there, whatever.
You can get
it
anywhere.
It's so different than what it was.
You know, we have our favorite things to watch sometimes, the movies for Halloween. I love generally when I pull out the Universal classics and try to review them in chronological order of
right.
their release. For some reason, I have to dig up my Addams Family discs for Halloween.
Yeah, those are good.
I don't know why.
Of the Addams Family, do you mean the actual
original
episodes on television or the movie?
No, the 60s TV show with the original cast, Carolyn Jones and, oh, God, John Astin, he was great. He made that show.
Astin is one of the funniest folks you're going to run across humor-wise. Man, hilarious.
He's still with us, God bless him.
He is still with us. One thing, we were talking about Zacherly and Elvira, and they definitely heralded in what would later become horror hosting throughout. But we also got a shot in the arm in mid-'80s, 90s? Mid-'80s. of yeah. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, right? Or was that late 70s? When did she pop?
She really was early 80s, late 70s originally.
Right.
Of course, she was preceded by Vampyra, who put her indelible mark, you know, from back
right.
in the 50s.
But Elvira
was the first really nationally known. How's
yeah,
that?
Elvira really brought it back for an entire decade of people that had not possibly seen it, because horror hosting was waning. It was disappearing from the landscape.
Yep.
People were television stations, local television stations were orienting more towards news and not local programs. They were, you know what, cost too much, let it go. Let's just do the news.
Yeah.
And then Elvira
Sweet. Yeah, that's
Sweet
a shame. That's
cable,
where they
I
lost
think.
The communities, I think. You know what I mean? That's where this genre has gone because of the shift to, like you said, news is their whole deal.
Right.
Well,
and
listen, real quick, tonight on Eerie House Television, we got some broadcasting for you at 8 o'clock. This crazy dude named Dale Kay hosting The Human Monster. And then at 10, it's Misty Brew. This is Eastern Standard, of course. Misty Brew with Revenge of the Zombies. Yeah, repeat from about a couple of months ago, but we brought that one out special for Halloween. We've got other Halloween scheduling for you. Check it out on the Eerie House Facebook page. And you can learn more about that there. What do you think?
There you go. And because it's radio, you could toss out the Facebook. It's just Eerie House. Say it again.
Just go
Eerie House.
Search out Eerie House on Facebook. You'll find us.
Oh, okay.
My Dale Kay Spook Show page. I don't care.
There you go. Yeah, I get lost.
I litter this stuff all over Facebook.
Oh, okay. We call that saturation, pal. That's right.
That's right. And I'm saturated right now. Once again, thanks to Alpha Trope people, Annie Rupper.
Libation going on there.
And guest 398. Alpha Trope wrote that Elvira was first around in 81. So
81, okay.
Yeah. And then
that ushered in an entire new generation of fans to go, hey, that's interesting. And now, especially with the intertubes, we had the opportunity to go, well, Elvira did that. What was before it? And people could go look and discover history of the genre horror hosting, which actually has quite a good bit of history to it, which is fun.
Did you just say intertubes?
I said intertubes, yeah.
Hey, don't you talking dirty on my show, man. We throw you out of here for that.
Yeah, there we go. I
that
heard that
like
there with the inner tubes there. Yep. yeah.
Stop with the dirty talking.
Yeah. Putting up that story of the Gernstein. Leave the cows in the field. Yeah.
Holsteins and Gerstein.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, boy. So.
That's been fun. It's been quite a week, and it's a shame we lost Zachary. I'm sure he'd want. I'm sure he doesn't disapprove of people doing the horror host thing. There's some that have, and some that that are glad that we're trying to carry on a tradition here.
Of what I've seen of the last of his videos and his actions, he's been incredibly supportive of all of the horror hosts you ever run across.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you're number one, you don't have to worry about anybody being number two. You know you're number one, and hopefully he went to the next world knowing that he was loved for what he did. People from New York, they don't
forget. No questions whatsoever. He had, I came in way late. I wasn't in his viewing audience local, and so I ran across him on VHS, and I was like, this is amazing, and that was it for me. I was hooked with on him, and
yeah.
Thanks to those good old intertubes, I've been able to find so many more horror hosts and go, These folks are amazing, too.
And with that, we say goodbye to our regularly scheduled show. Stick around if you can, Gar, for the little bonus time coming up next. Thanks,
all
listeners.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that is
Blah.
That. You're a bleh, they're a bleh.
Bleh, bleh. I stepped on a bleh.
Alpha Trope ended the chat with, I'm going intertubing.
Well, see, there you go. It's contagious. I tell
you,
blah, blah. All right.
See what you started. Why?
I know. I am so, bad guard, bad. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Space Pirate wrote a newspaper picture showed Emmett Kelly in his sad tramp clown costume walking with a bucket of water. He said that he reached the tent. By the time he reached the tent with water, there was nothing that could be done. 186 or 168 died, 700 injured. Oh, man.
Oh, wow. That's not good. Okay.
No. Yeah. Well, you know, like
was that
anything
was that
else.
A joke you're talking about? He got a bucket of water and there was a hole in it? Was that a joke?
No.
What was that?
No, no, unfortunately, that's...
I got a bucket
Alpha
hole.
What's that?
What's that guy's name? The guy that did, I can't think of names at all right now. Someone had a bucket. It's got a hole in the bucket. Yeah, something.
Eliza.
I can't remember this.
Eliza.
Yeah, there you go.
There's
a
or
hole
dear Eliza.
The bucket. They're dying in the tent. No, that's just horrible.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I think I'm almost Gar. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. No, Halloween, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, it does have good, it does have bad. I had fond memories as a youth, and, you know, as you get older, I don't want the candy bad enough to dress up. You hit that age. I don't know, for me it was about 15, 16. You still wanted to do it, but you kind of felt goofy because you're like, yeah, I should be dating girls now.
Yeah, I think, well, since I'm well into my 50s, I'm dressing up every Saturday, so, you know, it's not really
yeah,
a snare.
True. That's really true. I don't do a whole big, huge costume thing, and hats off to the horror hosts.
The one thing
we
were talking about earlier was you got folks out there that are actually seeking to incur damages or harm on other people or animals, and so I actually bow out of being publicly available for Halloween. Which is sad because it can be fun, but because there's that aspect in it, and I would be availing myself to energies from beyond. I actually kind of close down on Halloween and don't interact on the internet.
I have to celebrate. There's one of the safest things you can do is stay home with your kids and throw a private party and.
Halloween parties actually started. There was a reason behind it, and the reason was juvenile delinquents in the 1940s and 50s, they were going crazy with destroying property on Halloween. So then civic leaders, community leaders and stuff said, we're having a party, and they got all the kids inside so they couldn't be out there breaking windows. And that's kind of the start of Halloween parties.
Oh, no kidding. That's a neat idea. It's a positive solution.
Positive solution. So that's when you got kids bobbing for apples and putting their hands in cold macaroni when the lights are out going, ooh, it's brains or whatever.
Yeah, cold macaroni. Yeah, we never did that.
You never did that? Oh, you need to go back in time and be a kid again and do that. That's gross. Any pasta, any good cold pasta, meatballs, and then you got like, you know, you say their eyeballs, and it's like, lights
that's
are out, get your hand
out
in the dish, let's tell the story, and you know, and it's just.
What was it that was so much fun about creeping out girls when we were kids?
The thrill? I don't know.
Yeah, because it was easy.
I don't know. It was kind of. What? It was just being a male was, you know, can you make, what was it George Cohen said? You know, it was going to be a good day if you could make Margaret Mary throw up by looking at a frog or something like that.
Yeah.
You know. And that was just, you know, part of the initiation as a kid, as a male kid. Can you make little, you know, Sue Ellen, you know, hiccup until she can't stop, you know, or whatever. I don't know. That is just the thing we did. So, yeah.
Oh, I know. People freak out when there's, like, one kid that has an allergy to peanuts. They, like, close the school down or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, God. If we knew a kid had an allergy to peanuts, man, we'd be rubbing peanut butter in his face to see him throw up like a bullfrog.
Right. Yeah. I gotta watch this kid. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. It was then a team sport, right?
No, it was a science project.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding. We didn't do that, but... the temptation was always there.
Who didn't do that? Okay, sure. We did.
We
did it all day long.
And you can't catch us now. There has to be a statute of limitations.
Right, yeah.
Rubbing peanut butter in a kid's face. No.
Yeah. Well, I did a weird thing. I went and I got... Oh, wow. That it's going to look really silly. I did an amendment to my normal... gar look, and I got a Frankenstein rubber topper, and so I'm going to wear that in lieu of Halloween. So it's gar with a Frankenstein flat top head.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it looks way different. I'll send you an image or two of it.
I don't know, maybe
it'll
keep me up at night. I don't know.
Yeah, it might. It's going to keep me up. but it'll be easy.
So are you coming back tomorrow to talk about what might have been?
Yeah, sure. We can do that. I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I couldn't.
6:30 tomorrow, we can do that. It'd be a really fast promotion.
Yeah.
If you want to continue, go forward with that. Yeah, no problem.
I'm taking a week off, except for radio, but I think I'm just going to rerun the whole schedule. It was exhausting putting this all together this Halloween weekend.
And I just had that left turn for software. I had a left turn, had an update, and it screwed up everything. And hopefully I have to go back to that computer and turn it back on and see if I can get stuff working again.
Otherwise, I'm going to be
Gar live for 4 hours staring at people going, "Hi, how are you? Blah, blah," you know.
I think you could pull it off myself.
Maybe. I don't think I've ever done it before.
You'd be really tired when it was over. You'd be... totally exhausted, but it would be fun to watch.
The last time that I was, I called in and it was a Saturday. I talked to you and I was doing makeup like I am now. And I started the program, and what happened? Like 15, 20 minutes into the program, I lost my voice. And people thought it was the funniest thing ever because I have several registers that I hit when I speak. And I would go, "I'm trying to go." It was horrible. And everyone was like, "This is hilarious." And I'm like, "Yeah, not if you're on Gar's side." That was crazy.
Yeah.
Are we dead? No. Oh,
no.
Okay,
no, somebody's messaging me something here.
Oh, okay.
interesting stuff. We're not dead. We're just lame.
Okay. We're not dead. We're lame.
Lame-brained.
That's all right. Yeah, I left my brain in another pair
in
of pants.
In San Francisco.
Yeah, that's what
I left my brain.
In San Francisco. Gar can't sing. Never said it could. Okay. If you can't do it right, do it loud. That's how I heard it.
There you go. Couldn't height.
Way down upon the Swanee River. Yeah, see, I could be in records.
That's right.
No.
Sure.
Yeah, I know.
Are they still making records? I think they're
parable.
Making them again.
Hmm?
I think they're making records again. I mean,
vinyl
records.
They are. They're coming back. It's amazing. It's weird because they went away and you're like, "Oh, I loved my radio store." And now it's gone. And now, hey, it's coming back. You know, weird.
Yep.
So I'm going to zoom out of here and see if I can make anything work.
All right, and I will tell the radio audience, thank you for listening here in the archives to Erie House Radio. We'll see you tomorrow at 6:30.
Oh.
Yep, with Gar the Ghoul, and tonight at 8 o'clock if you got nothing better to do.
if you got nothing better to do. Gar the Ghoul, Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul on Facebook. Look now. There you go.
Or you can watch Dale Casey. Either one of us you can watch.
There
or both.
Go.
We are
total arm wavers on Saturday night. Look at me.
There you go.
And that's okay.
All
that's
right. Okay.
Getting off now. Take care. Great to talk to you, Sir Dale K. Blah, blah.
Thanks for stopping by, Gar.
Sure.
And we'll see the rest of you, folks. Thanks for listening to Erie House Radio. Bye-bye.